to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Lots happening in politics this week. Lots of good and bad. People doing the right thing, the wrong thing.
What's fluffing your duvet this week?
My duvet has been fluffed, I guess, by Limogate, Clear Curran. I don't know, business confidence being tackled by the government. I don't know. It's all a blur, actually.
I spoke to the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, yesterday about the business confidence thing, and I sort of put it to her in a roundabout way that was it sort of just get your enemies in, you know, like keep your enemies yep. close sort of situation, and it seems to be a great way to get them to shut up about it.
Oh, this is smart politics from the Prime Minister, bringing in this advisory group. I'm not sure they really need an advisory group. I mean, business are pretty loud already, and they kind of get their message across to the government about what their problems are, which is pretty much that they don't want...
Don't get to make as much money as they want?
Yeah, they just don't really want law reform in terms of industrial relations.
Yeah.
You know, to give workers more power. And but I guess this advisory group can tell them that. The government just wants to show that they're listening. And businesses just want to feel that they're being listened to.
If you're going to say something, say it to my face sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
Claire Curran, in a nutshell, what happened there?
Well, you know, she's been a naughty minister twice now. She hasn't filled in her ministerial diary correctly. That's the nice way of looking at it, that she's just been a bit slack in administration. But, you know, when they have these meetings with industry players, ministers are supposed to, you know, be very transparent about it.
Well, she should have learned that from the first time.
That's right. And so she hasn't learned. She's, been having these meetings off the record. You're not supposed to do that as a minister.
Yeah.
And she says it was just a mistake, but the Prime Minister wasn't convinced by that and gave her a half firing. So a half sacking is where a minister is demoted. So Curran was in cabinet. She's been shifted outside cabinet, but she's still a minister outside.
Is that a pay cut? Do you get a pay cut for that? Of course,
yep.
Surely. Yep.
She's lost $50,000. She's still earning something like, $250,000 a year instead of $300,000 a year. But yeah, she's had a pay cut. But, you know, it's more than that. It's embarrassing for her. And it kind of signals, I think, that she's on her way out. She'll probably be eased out in the next, you know, major reshuffle. But,
Who's going to jump in that spot? Because you really want someone good. You want someone good in there, you know?
I mean, some of the best people have got very big loads already, like Phil Twyford and, David Parker. They'd be the best people to do broadcasting. But even Chris Farfoy, I think he'd be quite good. He's currently outside of cabinet.
Is he? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so I think he possibly is a starter for it. So I'm not so sure that Jacinda Ardern was hard enough on Claire Curran. I think she probably should have just got rid of her totally. And that would have been a bad look for the whole government to have a minister entirely sacked.
This kind of means you've hired the wrong person for the job as well, doesn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now National are kicking up a bit of a stink about Chelsea Manning being speaking in New Zealand, which is weird because we've been advertising that show for like a couple of months, and no one said anything until suddenly,
it's really weird because National, I think, has been getting some credit because they have kind of shown a principled stance on other free speech issues lately, saying, we might not like these people, but we regard them as having a right to speak. But then suddenly Chelsea Manning pops up, even though she's been on the agenda for a while coming here, as you say. And suddenly Michael Woodhouse, who's the immigration spokesperson for National, says, no way, she should not be allowed in the country and she shouldn't be allowed to speak because she's a criminal. And that's the whole basis of his argument, that because she was convicted of these crimes, she's now coming to New Zealand. Remember, she was a whistleblower. She did do something pretty major of leaking, hundreds of thousands.
That's back when she was Bradley Manning, of course.
Yeah, yep, that's right. And she So according to National, she's profiting from that crime now by coming to New Zealand to speak. And I just think that's absurd. I think that it's a red herring. Basically, they don't like her. Basically, they see her as a traitor to, you know, Western powers because she, you know, blew the whistle on the Iraq war.
It would have been a good war if she hadn't blown the whistle on it.
That's right. So they just don't like her because she's anti-state surveillance and she's critical of, you know, what governments are doing around the world. So I think National have exposed themselves as being quite hypocritical on free speech issues, and I think it's a really bad look, and it's just it was unnecessary for them to jump in here. I don't think they're going to get any great credit for being tough on crime on this. So no, just a stupid response. And even a lot of other people on the right have called them out on this. So people like Matthew Hooton has called for Michael would have to be sacked over it. David Seymour's come out and said it's completely the wrong situation, call by National, and that as much as David Seymour doesn't like Chelsea Manning, of course she's got a right to come here and speak. People are interested to hear what she has to say, so why not? So even the right have kind of, I sort of see this as a stupid move by National.
Yeah, the first time when Simon Bridges started his weekly interviews, fortnightly interviews with us recently on BFM, I sort of asked him a few questions about where the National Party sat in the wonderful world of left and right and, you know, sort of politics, because, you know, they need to be careful that they don't align themselves with this rotten old alt-right carry on that's going on worldwide, and it sort of feels a wee bit like that to me.
Well, I just think they're aligning themselves too much with the US government, which I don't know if you call them alt-right, but, you know, with Trump and just the military.
There's obviously a big swelling of interest and you know, a lot of voices, and there's people, there's numbers in that movement, and that's why I'm wondering whether someone's saying, you know what, we're just saying, you know, just gently trying to scoop a few in from the peripherals there, you know?
It could be that. I don't know. I think mostly Simon Bridges is trying to appear as quite moderate, and he's trying to downplay his more right-wing kind of instincts. And
if he could just push past that massive, great big bouncy castle that says, you're going to get rolled!
Yeah, that's right.
it seems to get in the way every day.
Yes, and that is kind of, as we're saying these days, the elephant in the room, because of this leaker and this kind of witch hunt to find out who the leaker was and whether there's a, as one commentator put, a psychopath in the National Party caucus.
Jesus.
Silence
of the Lambs or something.
That was Matthew Hughes again.
Is it a big deal, Bryce? You'd know. Is it a big deal?
Well, it's become a big deal. Simon Bridges has made it a big deal.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be. I don't think the original scandal and leak was really that newsworthy. It wasn't that big a deal. But Bridges made it into that. And he may still come out of this quite well, because for his core base, it looks like he's stood staunch about this. It looks like he, you know, has been a tough leader. He's wanting to track down this leaker and bring them to justice. And, yeah, he stood his ground. And there's also got to be a lot of, I think, sympathy for Simon Bridges, because if there is someone in his caucus or staff that are leaking stuff, you know, that is disloyal. That is, you know, quite unfair. And, you know, for them then to say, oh, you know, please don't investigate any further because I can't.
That's where it starts getting really weird, eh?
Yeah, really weird. Again, I think there'll be some public sympathy for Bridges feeling like he's kind of emotionally blackmailed, that he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this leaker, you know, I just think the leaker should come forward to him and, you know, and deal with it internally and apologise, perhaps, if they want to. I don't know. I mean, those texts apparently weren't even apologetic.
Were saying, I just wonder why it's even... Sorry.
Yep.
What did they say?
Oh, these texts were saying, look, this is the reason I leaked them, because I regard Simon Bridges is arrogant and he needed to be exposed. So they weren't even showing any contrition.
Right. But please don't investigate, because I've got mental issues.
Yeah, I've gotten into a series, and I was right to leak them, basically, the leaker was saying. So
if it's a professional leak, it's an average leak for a start. And then, the overcompensation afterwards is, it's just silly, Bryce.
Yeah,
silly.
So perhaps we shouldn't even be talking about it.
No, it seems like someone who really wanted to make a point. You would think there'd be that whoever did it would be a bit more savvy, wouldn't you?
I couldn't agree more. They could have gone. There's probably more dirt that they could use on, you know, how National's going and, you know, any mistakes with Bridges than this. So it's pretty lame stuff, but. No, the big controversy moved on to the fact that Mallard, the Speaker of Parliament, Trevor Mallard, launched an investigation, rightly or wrongly, but then he called it off, which was really weird. And National got a bit pissed off about this because they wanted the investigation to continue, and they couldn't really see anything that's changed that meant they should that Mallard should call it off. And Mallard had known about these texts also for a week before he called it off, and he proceeded with it even though he had these texts from this person claiming to be a National Party MP and being mentally unstable, and he continued with it. It was only when, this is National's line at least, it was only when Jacinda Ardern publicly came out and called for the inquiry to stop that Trevor Mallard said, oh, yep, we're cancelling it.
What I found really unusual is, why did the public find out about those texts?
Yeah, it was a bit strange, I have to admit, because the texts were kind of kept in-house by National and...
I'm talking about the ones that we were told went to Trevor Mallard and Simon Bridges at the same time, after the leak. Yeah. I thought it was really strange that they actually made that public.
Yeah, they also went to, I believe, to News Hub. She maintains that she was totally opposed to them being made public.
Uh-huh.
And it was Radio New Zealand. It was Radio New Zealand that published the story about them. And
those muckrakers, hey?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Tove O'Brien from News Hub was, getting on her high horse and saying, this is outrageous that RNZ should be muckraking. and where's their sense of ethics?
It's our job.
That's our job.
Hey, real quickly, Bryce, Jacinda Ardern's defending not releasing the report into what happened at the Labour summer camp.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because this is an internal matter for them, but it became public, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it became an issue of, a public issue, you know, when there were crimes committed and that there were victims that were speaking out. And I note that one of the victims of the summer camp is speaking out now, again, saying that they can't believe that they haven't been given a copy of the report and that the report isn't being made public. So, I mean, we've seen the...
Isn't the story just like, Tess and I just talked about it before, and yeah, it's really bad what happened. But this is just a piss dickhead at a party.
Yeah,
you know, who just needed to be ousted, kicked out, told that's no good, and if there's charges to be charged, then that happens after. But I guess it was at the Labour Party summer camp, you know.
That's right, but also
it's just weird that they even have some summer camp, to be honest.
Exactly, but the way that the Labour Party then dealt with it was also a question of questionable, because some of the victims said, hey, you know, we weren't given a chance to go to the police about being sexually assaulted or, you know, claiming that. Why did the Labour Party try and hush it up on us? That was kind of the complaint. And apparently this investigation looked into that, but we don't know whether the Labour Party did handle it well or not. I mean, the Prime Minister should have been told about it.
The thing is, it was all pretty. No one really knew what was going on in the party at that stage when that happened. It was in turmoil, wasn't it?
I do think the report should come out, even if some of it.
Oh, full disclosure. Honesty, best policy, Bryce. That's what we've always said.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Bryce. Lovely to talk to you. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Cheers.
Nice one.
Bryce Edwards.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.